If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Yes, we're back again. Knock 'em out the box, episode 25. This is Knock 'em out the box, episode 25. My name is Vinny Paz. I'm here with my co-host, with the co-most, the left, right, left kid, Mr. Brennan Long. What's the word, kid?
Yo, what's
up? It feels good.
We're back.
Yeah, you're already slipping.
I'm ready.
It feels like it's been forever. It's been only 2 weeks.
2 weeks, baby. We had a little hiatus action. We had to regroup. We had to get our minds right. And well, now we're back on schedule. There's fights happening. There's stuff to talk about.
When things heat up, then we do as well. It's like,
right.
You know, we don't want to force episodes, which I know, like, you know, as you know, all your years working in TV, I know both working in the entertainment industry, sometimes you're forced, you know, places like ESPN, you can't just skip SportsCenter if shit didn't happen.
Da-na-na.
So what happens is that they're showing girls volleyball when nothing happened that night.
Well, or, you know, they're showing the Winter Olympics, which no one seems to give a fuck about.
Right. No, no.
I used to do those Winter Olympics, and
your stories are great. And fuck those Olympics in China for what's happening with the Uyghurs over there. And I wouldn't have gone. So that's a whole other topic.
That's a whole other podcast. Topic.
It is.
And on a different topic, same Olympic topic, just real quick. To springboard off your corruption, Beijing, it doesn't snow in Beijing, and they're making snow.
Yeah.
Beijing also ruined or let it go into destitute the 2008 Olympic Village, which they're supposed to preserve and use as training facility, educational facilities, et cetera, et cetera. And it is a ghost town, and somehow magically they get the Olympics again. But again, we don't need to go down that road. But before we start the show, on a somber note, a guy I didn't know, but you all might know out there, friends of the show were friends with him.
Right.
And some of our good friends on this show. And boxing trainer and boxing personality for many years in the New York area, most famously to the public, was as Chris Algieri's trainer for the Pacquiao fight, but to a lot of boxing heads and guys that participated in sport here in New York, he meant a lot more to them than just a guy that was on TV for one fight. Tim Bring the Pain Lane, who was a four-time world champion kickboxer, passed away last week, and we just wanted to pay our respects and send our condolences to his loved ones and
absolutely
our friends.
I heard he was friends with Craig Sitari.
Yes.
You know, Craig had sick of it all. And I didn't really speak to him about it. So like you said, our condolences to everyone who knew him, you know?
Yeah, I spoke to Craig and Craig has just a ton of great stories about Tim Lane. And Craig, amongst some of my other friends, who guys I didn't even know were friends with Tim Lane.
Right.
And as I said to Craig, and I'll say it here on the podcast, I did not know him, but after hearing all these stories, I wish I did.
Yeah, me too.
You know, seemed like a pretty incredible guy, and rest in peace to Tim Lane and my condolences and our condolences and condolences from the show to his family and loved ones.
Absolutely. All right, I guess let's get things started.
Let's go.
We'll talk about what's happened since we've been on air. First and foremost was that, you know, I know we already covered the fact that we were, to say disappointed would be putting it politely.
Are we talking about the boxing pulling a highway robbery? Not robbery in the sense, I'm talking gunpoint robbery.
Gunpoint robbery, $75.
And coming into our pockets.
Look, man, you have to understand where this...
Look,
there are very few historically. I mean, very few, historically speaking, fighters that weren't dirt poor. Now, it's not like only fighters buy fights or are fight fans, but it is a very blue collar friendly, middle class, lower middle class.
Right. It's a working class sport.
You're talking about, look, man, we understand pay-per-view. You've talked about it ad nauseum about the Mike Tyson effect. You and I firmly believe, we stand by it, we will continue to stand by it, that PBC is leaking oil, and this is their attempt to put the hole in the dam. We won't be convinced otherwise.
No.
Even if someone comes on and tells us that, we've gone over the fact that Keith Thurman, Mario Barrios with a subpar undercard at 75 clams is really laughable. I can't say it's kind of laughable. It's laughable. I saw some early numbers that looked horrendous, which makes me happy, because the only way you can't reward these things when a kid's being bad, you don't reward them. You just don't reward bad behavior. And if you do, you're going to create a monster. And that applies to people and it applies to everything. When you reward bad behavior, correct. If someone's got a bad plan and they overcharge and they this and that, you create a monster. You create hype beasts, you know, and then that allow it to happen. And this is boxing's version of that.
Right.
You know, Keith Thurman is a hype beast of boxing. You're talking about a guy with like no, who's called by certain demographics amongst boxing elite when doesn't have an elite win, lost to an over the hill Pacquiao, who was still very good.
Sure.
You know, Mario Barrios was coming off a knockout loss. Tough kid.
By the way, I love Mario Barrios. I texted you a picture of Mario Barrios. I stumbled across a picture of Mario Barrios in a jean vest that had a Misfits patch and a Dead Kennedys patch on it.
So and B and I go back and forth with.
I marked out. I said,
all right, so, but listen, let's go further. We both mark out and then we start asking each other, yo, did a stylist do this? Because.
Right. Or can you buy this? Is this prefab now?
There's a picture of Chris Brown. And he's wearing a leather jacket. And there's a Cro-Mags Age of Quarrel patch, an Excel patch, a Suicidal patch, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I know the actual person who made the jacket for him. And that person is official. Chris Brown has no idea who any of these people are.
Right.
So me and you are going, yo, did he buy this pre-made? And then I'm going, wait, is there like a PBC stylist on hand? It's, you know what I mean?
Right.
So then we both dig in. We dig our fucking feet in.
He's a fan.
And he's a guru. He's like a cholo punk rocker, which is a thing out there. Like,
yo, he's a hardcore
kid. Where we're from, like that shit doesn't exist. But in Cali, there's like straight cholo goons that
he's from Texas, San Antonio, yeah.
But he also resides in Cali as well.
Right. But he is... I found an article and he's like, yo, they told me to go to a press conference just dressed in the clothes I normally wear.
Yes.
And he's like, so I said, fuck it. You know what I mean? I'm just going to rock my jean vest. And I've always been into skateboarding and.
Yes.
And punk rock and hardcore. So I was really rooting heavy for him.
Me too.
I was
then
like,
I text you when the shit starts. I go, is this fool got the Misfits girl tattooed on his arm? Now, either to be new or I didn't notice it when he fought.
I didn't notice it. But yeah, he's got a Misfits tattoo.
Yeah, so come on, man. I'm in.
He's and like, I was sending you Dead Kennedys songs. It's like, yo, he should come out to this. This
yes,
would be
yes.
dope.
Kill the Poor.
Kill the Poor. Yeah, I was like, that's what he's coming out to. Yes, I was going yes. crazy.
OG Gavin was like, if this fool comes out to a punk rock song, like, because Gavin hates sports, he goes, he's my favorite boxer. I got to follow him, and he starts following the dude. But, hey, look, you know, I don't remember what your pick was. I don't even remember what my pick is.
Oh, I think I don't remember if we said by stoppage or not. No, I think I picked Barrios in the upset, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I definitely
I was picked Thurman. I was guys, oftentimes on this show, and yes, sometimes I am a mush. I am going to go ahead and pick the underdog. So listen, going forward, I hope you guys, now that sports gambling is like legal in New York. My New York fans, do not go on my picks when it's clear that I'm annoyed with the main event like I was with this. I'm annoyed with $75. I'm picking anarchy because I'm pissed off at this at the event. So
B was hoping, realistically, B was hoping someone came into the ring like Fan Man is what he
Fan
really
Man and
was
just
hoping.
Kill the whole event. That would be
yeah, that's what
fantastic.
He was really hoping for, but it didn't happen. But,
it didn't happen. You want to talk about the fight?
Yeah, we can brush over it. You know, we have to do this. People still consider him a guy that's hanging around. I don't care.
He's a top 10, 15 guy. I'll be clear as clear. Look, and when Vinny and I say a guy isn't good, we mean it in relative terms. As far as the world is concerned, Keith Thurman is an incredible boxer.
Yes.
As far as the top 10 in the welterweight division, he is not. He is the lower portion of that.
I'm gonna be honest with our listeners, because you and I understand that we're speaking in relative terms. Mm-hmm. We were texting each other using the word "stinks." We're like, this guy stinks. Like, this guy's feet are awful. He can't throw a straight shot. That you said the best thing. Our best exchange during the fight was you writing me, this is one of those guys that thinks he can get by on his athleticism. And I wrote back, except he's not athletic.
Yeah.
And we were laughing for like,
and I said, that's my point.
That's my point, idiot. He thinks that.
He thinks he's athletic. Yeah. Keith Thurman, once upon a time, for some reason, I don't know, maybe it's because he has like a baritone voice. He was sort of billed as a big welterweight. He's
absolutely
like 5'7". He was 2 pounds under the 147 pound limit. Now, again, I'm not a guy who makes weight. Maybe eventually one day we have fighters who have made weight their career on here. Mm-hmm. About 2016, 2017, I thought to myself, wait a second. He's not a big welterweight. He's a normal size welterweight. I'm surprised he's in seeing that when his competition level increased.
Yes.
His knockouts went this way.
Went down.
I thought in my head, long before you and I had a show, years ago, I wonder why it's never been recommended for him to maybe drop down a division. And maybe, you know, I don't know if it would still be hard for him to make the weight. I'm not here to speak on that.
Yeah.
But it was just always in my head that he's not a big punching, big welterweight, because he's not. He's not welterweight by size, not a big welterweight by punch.
Can I just add something here as an aside? This is a guy whose nickname is One Time. All of y'all out there, y'all know the implications of what that means. I don't have to explain it to
and
you.
And that's what he was.
But listen, he hasn't had a knockout in 6 years.
I think it's like 8 years, actually.
2016 is the last.
Oh, really?
Listen.
Who was that? Was that?
It may have been Diego Chavez. I can't remember.
Or was it, whatchamacallit?
I'll look it up. You're not talking about a guy that is a devastating puncher. You're just not. And what happens with these guys who rack up knockouts? They're 20-0 with 20 knockouts. Guys like B and I, like boxing guys, say put them in there with real guys and see if this. And when you start icing people who are sturdy and never been knocked out before, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
those are the guys that you and I are always super impressed with.
Are you looking up?
I'm looking it up. It was Luis Collazo in 20, it's 7 years ago.
And that was Collazo. He didn't answer the bell. It wasn't like it was a one time.
Right. No, it wasn't a one hitter quitter.
Yeah.
No.
That was who I was thinking of, that it was Collazo.
Sorry.
And Collazo hurt him really badly to the body in that fight.
Bad. So did Diego Chavez. So did Mario Barrios. Me and your children could hurt Keith Thurman to the body. The fact that people don't go into this fight and just go destroy the body for four rounds. I know we say it all the time. We're not professional trainers and we're not professional fighters. But sometimes there's low hanging fruit that you just have to say, why XYZ?
Well,
if every time I see you, if you have 15 KOs and they're all from a left hook, and then you go 10 fights without a KO, I'm going to say to you, B, why isn't this guy throwing a left hook? That's not me saying that I'm Ferdy Pacheco. That's right. Me being observant. And I'd like to think I'm astute. So how are you? Every time this guy has been damaged, except for that when Pacquiao dropped him, was to the body.
Right. And it's not just like, ooh, he kind of winces. No, he's gotten the nickname Runtime because
he's on his bike when he gets hit hard.
Yep. Yep.
So I don't know why people aren't.
I don't. Maybe the competition hasn't been right since this has sort of been like a pattern. But I'll tell you right now, if this guy gets in there with a thudding, grinding type of fighter like Errol Spence, because that's what's being thrown around, I don't think Thurman sees the sixth round.
I think Spence,
with the eye injury, okay? If Spence gets by Ugas, okay? Because that's slated to happen. Errol Spence gets by Ugas. Mm-hmm. I've heard from a lot of different birds that it's going to be Keith Thurman next for Spence.
Look, you're correct because he will go to 54 before Spence, which he's going to do eventually. He will go to 54 before he fights Bud. So let's assume he gets by Uga.
Yeah.
I agree with you that it's two options. Keith Thurman or go to 54.
Or go to fit. And I think he's going to take Keith Thurman because I think it's easy money.
Agreed.
Because people will buy that gimmick.
In that world, that's a big fight.
Yep. The PBC world.
That PBC world.
And again, it gets him a credible, because Keith Thurman's still a top 10 guy.
Absolutely. One loss to a Hall of Famer.
Right. Credible guy, a name on his resume, and a knockout.
Yeah.
Because Errol Spence needs a knockout.
He will do him dirty. Badly. You know who will do Keith dirty? Our guy Boots. It's not happening, but we have to start imagining at this point.
Our other guy Virgil Ortiz,
tough will fight.
Beat the brakes off of Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman, this 2 year layoff maybe he needed it. I don't see him beating any of our top five or six.
No, agreed. Agreed. I don't think that the lower half of the top 10 should be
ruled out. Right. I actually don't. And I'm going to go out on a further limb. And now you guys that do gamble, I'm going to say bet the under next time they make a Keith Thurman fight. I don't think Keith Thurman goes seven rounds with any of the guys in the top six, save for Ugas.
That's only because he doesn't have much pop. Right.
That's it.
I think he would lose to Ugas, by the way.
I do too.
I just think he would. The movement would give him problems.
Yeah.
He's got all his feet are awful, and Ugas is brilliant.
So I'm surprised too, because, you know, I always regarded Dan Birmingham as a good trainer there at a
I don't I don't Winky I don't Wright's like trainer. I don't like him as a dude, but I think he's a really capable trainer.
Dan Birmingham.
I just think he's a goofball.
Okay.
So, hey, you called for an upset special with Bam Rodriguez. I thought Carlos Cuadra was too much. I have a little asterisk on this, which I told you about. So on air, I picked Quadra to win a UD or a split decision.
Mm-hmm.
You picked an upset special. You were right, picking Bam, who was a motherfucking problem.
Yo.
Problem.
Two weight class. Guy moves up two weight classes to fight a veteran.
And fights one of the best guys in that weight class of the last decade.
Right. This guy, Carlos Quadra's been in there with everybody. Everybody.
Maybe he's been in there too much.
That's
what it is.
With everybody. Oh boy. That was a fun fight to watch him.
So before we get into it, the actual fight. So a friend of mine from high school loves to gamble.
Okay.
Loves my picks with fights. So I said, yo, take Keith Thurman and take Bam Rodriguez, the upset. So something happened between the night we recorded. It was 2 days.
Yep.
We recorded on a Wednesday night. Friday night, I texted him. I said, yo, screenshot the lines. No matter what it is, take Thurman.
Okay.
How much of a dog is Bam? And I told him to take Bam.
Nice.
So while I said on the air, you know, and I'm not going back on that.
Okay.
I said it. At that moment, at that night, I was sticking a Quadra. And then I thought, you know what, man? This guy's going fucking life and death with Estrada, Chocolatito, yeah. Sorungvisai. Jeez, man.
And this is a lot of miles.
This is a lot of miles on this guy. And I didn't think he was going to get sparked out. He was still in it. And he landed some shit, man.
Yeah, like, dude.
Let's not.
So that was what I was gonna say. Now, this kid, this little Southpaw maniac that moved up two weight classes to win this. And again, guys, the weight classes are separated by, you know, a couple pounds here.
Yeah.
You
got 112, 115.
He's another San Antonio. He's another San Antonio kid of Mexican descent. But I really like this kid.
We have a young Mexican American Chocolatito in the making with this kid.
Yeah, because I'll say that because, and this is what I was going to get at. And the only criticism I ever had of Chocolatito, which is very, was that he took two to give four a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I see the same thing. This kid, Bam, is fucking fearless. Oh my God.
He's a goon, man. Yeah, he's a goon.
Standing in the line of fire, taking shots, getting off shots. They showed the highlight guys a bunch of times, but that little pivot to get the angles and then shoot that uppercut where he scored the knockdown.
Yeah.
Guys,
it's pretty.
Watch that in slow motion because they showed it. They looped it. I think it was on Twitter. And I swear to God, I watched it 20 times in a row. Holy shit.
I know athleticism comes into play. So to say this is like saying, well, why don't you just shoot like Jordan? But I'd love for guys to implement that little half step angle that we talk. Oh,
it was so pretty.
You and I love that maybe more than any. We just love guys who do that. I don't know what makes us both like it because we do kind of share a boxing mind, but we both love that little. It's not a full step. It's not two feet. It could be 8 inches to one side and then rip it.
Right.
And it just the guy doesn't see the shot coming.
Yeah. You move and shoot it. Canelo did it against. It was a little bit more deliberate. But Canelo did it against.
I mean, Lomachenko's whole style is basically that. Is the step or half step and rip the shots. But that's freakish shit.
The knockdown against Caleb Plant. Canelo did a little half step, shot the uppercut from the opposite hand where you normally would from that angle, and scored a knockdown. But
yeah,
it's wow. I'm really impressed with that kid. I hope that they can champion a kid, meaning the media, the press, and I think they did a great job with Chocolatito. I think they did years and years ago with Finito Lopez.
Yes,
we knew his name. right? We knew Finito's name. We need more than that here, and we have the platform. I want to see
Bam speaking English is huge.
I want to see Bam on every fucking card.
Me
that
too.
Big card that we can see
Me
him
too.
On.
Me
love
too.
To see him 3 times a year on every big fucking card.
I love him saying in the post fight, are you going to stay here? I'll go down, fuck these guys up. I'll stay here,
yep.
fuck these guys yep. up. I'm not saying I'm here. I'll go back down.
That was
if
the
you
chat,
give me the
that,
big fights.
That was the chatter I heard, that we may have a guy, because of his young age, that can theoretically or realistically defend a few different divisions simultaneously. I mean, take a fight here. You know what I mean? Because
yep.
you have a year to defend.
Yep.
So if he takes 3 fights, he could fight across 3 divisions.
Yep.
And
we have fights coming up, B. Like we have Chocolatito coming up next, you know, a couple weeks. We have guys like Sor Rungvisai.
When he gets healthy, so, they both got to get healthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But what I mean, they're still hanging around. And,
bro,
and
kid,
if they're anything like this fight with Cuadra, because if we look at everybody,
yeah, if they have one step out of their prime and this kid's now both feet in his, you know, or really, really going into his prime, we could see. I'm getting ahead of myself.
No,
we could
I
see.
I
we could
so
see. We could because I'm that excited about this kid.
Me too.
We could see the makings right in front of us. Of, I mean, it, the if he beats the 3 names you said, right, if or fights those guys.
I mean, he already beat one of the 4 who have been running shit for what?
Right.
10 years.
Right. So if he beats the other 3 guys, we're watching a Hall of Fame career unfold right in front of us, and he's only 22.
Right.
So those 4 wins, if he rattled those off,
the equivalent of those early Pacquiao wins that would have made him a Hall of Famer if he retired then.
Correct. That's my point. So
yeah.
Again, I don't want to fucking mush it. I don't want to jinx it.
Oh, you are a mush.
You son of a bitch. We could possibly be watching something great. So guys out there, listeners, I really want you guys, if you have,
you didn't watch it. Right. Right.
I really want you guys. This was the Zone fight. So it'll be in their archives. I believe if you search it, you can find it.
Carlos Cuadra, Jesse Bam Rodriguez for the,
and it'll definitely be on YouTube as well. So
eventually, yeah, the vacant WBC strap. He's got a strap at a smaller weight. Post fight, he said, look, I'll defend lower. I'll go back up. I'll stay here.
Right.
Who want what?
Right.
I'll take the winner of the Chocolatito fight.
A lot of fun, this kid. I'm excited.
Look, man, him being American, you know, and speaking English and Spanish, you got superstar written all over him. You know, those sizes, those weight classes aren't glamour divisions, but we've seen it, like you said, Finito. Look, Michael Carbajal was close to a name.
Oh, he's huge. Yeah, I apologize. That's a great call, Vin. Carbajal. And he was American, and Carbajal was also American. So
yeah. So look, guys, we gotta understand how huge it is for certain people that someone speaks English, for casual fans. We're not talking about dudes like us. Brandon and I will watch Telemundo cards that aren't in English because we're just diehards, but people we live in a very tribal, it's very tribal. And that can really help. And you've seen guys who have gone out of their way to learn the language, which I could not respect anymore. A guy who struggles with the language, like Golovkin, someone like Cotto, who spoke no English and made sure that he could absolutely speak good enough English to have a post-fight interview. You're seeing Canelo do it. Even when he's speaking Spanish, that motherfucker understands, bro, everything. He's almost there. You know what I'm saying?
He's pretty much
there. I respect anyone who's
done
it.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the fuck out of here. That shit's so fucking funny.
It is.
If you guys haven't heard that soundbite, it's Demetrius Andrade trying to crash his...
He's yapping at the post-fight.
Oh my God, that shit was so fucking funny. But you can tell that Canelo is starting to get a grasp of more than a grasp, but he's probably 100% fluent, just not super confident in when the emotions are high in a post-fight interview.
And hey, because we as Americans are so arrogant, and what people don't understand is others aren't. B and I know people who speak great English who will be like, oh, I'm so sorry for my English. I'm like, bro, you speak better than some of my friends.
Yeah, dude, my buddy's wife is from Quebec, and she's a Quebecois. She's a French-speaking Canadian, and her English is 1,000. I'm fucking stupid. I'm barely literate.
That's what I mean. I'm a word. You and I are still not. These right. people speak better than us.
Whenever she comes over the house, she'll use like a term for something that maybe, you know, I know what she means or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
She'll be like, oh my God, excuse me, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, yo, you're actually saying it the proper way.
You speak to Fadi from Saudi.
Yes.
Arabic is first. His English is perfect. And I'll be like, oh, no, I meant to say, I'm like, bro, you speak better than half the people right, we're friends with.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
So, look, Bam, the world is his, man. It's his oyster at those small
weights.
Correct. We love anything that could happen next for him. We love it. Stays there, fights the winner in some of these fights that are coming up. Like you said, when these guys get better, whether some of it was COVID, some of it was injuries, some of those guys are a little banged up, whatever. That's all going to unfold. Maybe spring. You know, we see Bam again. That's what me and you would like to see.
Yeah,
at that age, at that work rate, you know, April, May, June, whatever. Chris Eubank, Liam Williams. Give me your thoughts, B.
I picked Liam Williams to beat Chris Eubank. I was wrong.
Yeah.
Big time wrong. Eubank Jr. Because Liam Williams looked so good against Demetrius Andrade.
Mm-hmm. Gave him problems.
I thought he would.
Tough guy.
Yeah, he's a tough kid. I thought he would rally with that, and quite the opposite happened. Eubank Jr. impressed me. He beat him up pretty good. It was a pretty dominant victory.
I picked Eubank.
I
just want to ask you a question about him. I don't know anyone on his team. I don't know if you do. Let's just talk turkey here, please.
His father
was a legend, champion, fought a lot of guys,
and a legend personality.
Yes, I mean the guy, you know, wear a monocle. Listen, he's not getting any younger. He's not getting any younger.
He's 32.
He hasn't fought. He's made a career. If you were to bring up Chris Eubank to me, I'd be like big mouth as far as calling people out.
I would say James DeGale is his biggest win.
Agreed. Yeah. I don't even think it's up for debate. It's a nice win.
It's a nice win, and he... Am I reading this right?
I want to ask you a question.
He fought Billy Joe Saunders in 2014.
Yes, and lost.
8 years ago?
I know, man.
Why in my head is Chris Eubank Jr. like a new guy on the scene?
That's why I'm bringing this up to you and said, bro, he's not getting younger, because you and I always talk in our personal lives to each other. Yo, do you realize da-da-da is 34?
Right.
Because it's like, oh, I was at the Barclays when he got his first
throw.
And it just is this flies
life just
by.
Is life just going
right? Is it our boxing lives, or is it just like, you know, when you look at your girls, you're like, yo, my God, she's four, or she's one, or that. It's like, you know, but at 32, and you're calling people out, you're calling out Golovkin, you're calling out this guy. My question to you is, what is this guy's issue? I'm going to tell you mine, and I'm going to let you dance. My opinion is that him and his father are a little wacky. I think he calls people out and then prices himself out when Eddie had, you know, tries to get him a proper fight. And then I think they're delusional and price themselves out. I'm going to bring someone up who I've heard does that as well later on. But for now, I'd like you to talk to me about Chris Eubank Jr., why he doesn't get a good fight. British, speaks English, good-looking kid, has some skills.
Yeah, high energy. gas tank? Two reasons. One, I don't personally think they want tough fights. That's number one. So, like, you know, there was a guy there for a long time at that weight, right? Wasn't there? His name was Gennady Golovkin, you know? Yes. That fight could have been made. I think they want fights that they'll win. I think they make enough money winning. I also, like you said, they are absolutely delusional. And part of it, I think, is Eddie Hearn riding the level of fame. Because I don't know if you know this. They had a very, like, famous reality show, too, in England. You know, the Eubanks were like the Kardashians. They're socialites, you know? So when this kid started, like, really getting serious about boxing, it was a big deal. I remember them covering that. With that said, I don't necessarily think Eddie Hearn wants to. I think he likes the amount of money he makes, because the reason why I say that is the co-feature of a fight we'll talk about that happened on the 12th on the Danny Jacobs card was this guy Felix Cash. And that's who they were basically billing as Eubanks' next opponent. That's who Eddie Hearn was chatting up about Eubanks' next opponent. To me, the smart move and the DAZN move would be Jaime Munguia against Chris Eubank Jr. That would be the easy fight to make next. Other than that, I mean,
your answer is an interesting one.
I think it's a combination of things.
I don't have any data to put in front of you to say this is why you're wrong. There have been historically in this sport guys who, now in the States it's different. Obviously, the UK is a broad fucking term. Mm-hmm. But there are places where, yo, in the Northeast, for people that are listening in other, you know, other parts of the country or the world, Philly, New York, Boston, Rhode Island, back in the day, an Italian guy fights, an Irish guy fights. Everyone comes out. You can make a nice career out of that.
Mickey Ward.
Mickey, you know, Ward, like, Manfredo.
Right, yeah, Peter Manfredo, like more famous guys.
A little bit to an extent, Vinny Paz. But
Vinny,
but Paz,
your guy right now, he's on a lot of cards. We've talked about him multiple times. And help me with the pronunciation. Polish kid from Philly, the heavyweight, Joey Dowieko.
Yeah, Joey. Joey, you know, people, I'm going to see Joey in Philly. It's always packed. You know what
right.
I mean?
John Duddy here in New York used to
John
sell out.
Duddy, Mick Conlon.
Right.
You know, we talk about tribalism. You can do that.
Right.
And if that's what's happening, in my opinion, after B laid it out, that's what's happening with Chris Eubank Jr. But he's talking like he wants
you know. I think, Vin, he's like, we'll bring it to like wrestling parlance. And again, my wrestling parlance is not what your wrestling parlance is. So it's like the Intercontinental champion, right? Calling mm-hmm. out the heavyweight champ, you
calling
know?
Out Hogan in the
right, 80s. Calling out Hogan in the 80s, right? So that's essentially, to me, that's what's happening here. It's like a regional belt guy can say whatever he wants. This guy happens to be wildly famous. Over there, his father was very, very famous. But look, let's be honest. Eubank Sr. made a lot of money sticking around, you know, for the most part, the UK. You
yeah.
know what I mean? His
yeah.
biggest fights, we didn't even get on regular TV here. You and I know those fights because we had to dig through archives and to watch them. Of course,
Nigel Benn,
whose son is also a boxer who seems yes. to be taking a different route than this kid.
Yes.
And I think
agreed.
We will see Conor Benn over here.
I like him, by the way. I like him.
He's a very good commentator.
Oh, very good. For being
holy
that age,
shit.
I thought he did great on DAZN.
Fabulous.
Smart, well-dressed, articulate.
I say throw a suit on him, throw a headset on him, and let's go.
Let's
a
go.
A la Paulie Malignaggi.
Everything that's over in the UK, let's have
I would love, he was a joy to listen to.
I agree. I liked his insights. When I don't know the girl's name. I'm used to the pretty girl, Kate Abdo. It was another British girl who I didn't know who it was. I guess, you know, people know she is over there.
I don't know her name either.
But, you know, she would ask him questions and he was very articulate kid.
Very quick, Ben, too.
That's what I mean. His ability to sort of answer quick, because Gabe Rosado was there with his dick in his hand, you know, like a bozo. you know, like couldn't help but take a shot at Danny, like, and say he didn't care for him. Like,
I saw that. Yeah, that was just, you're not supposed to do, you're supposed to take an unbiased approach when you are, quote unquote, the media. You know, you got to take off your fighter hat and put on your commentator hat. And I think Conor Benn did that.
He absolutely did that.
Seamlessly, as they say.
Yeah.
So, Vinny, what do we do with this Chris Eubank Jr.? I don't understand why they can't make a Demetrius Andrade fight.
Because if you're right, then what they're telling him is talk that shit. Don't worry about it.
And here's,
we're going to keep putting you in over here.
We're going to feed the public Felix Cash, which is the co-feature of the Danny Jacobs John Ryder card. And that guy stinks.
And you talk about me and you using the word, hey guys, when we say someone stinks, it's all relative. They would beat the shit out of us. He stinks. So if that's the next fight, all right, you're talking about a 32-year-old. How many more of these do you have in you before?
I will say this, Vin. Let's hold Chris Eubanks, and Vinny, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, not at all.
Let's hold Chris Eubanks' feet to the fire, because he tweeted out after that, Eddie, this is the guy you want me to fight? You know what I mean? Like he tweeted that out afterwards, that Felix Cash is not in his
One thing you and I know for sure, and I'm not going to say this new generation, because at 32, he's not new, but he's like around 30 years old, around there and younger. It's like they're not talking to get people in the ring. They're talking to talk.
Right.
If someone talked from our era, it was like, yo, I want to get the ball rolling. And if this is how I have to do it, you know, because people have spoken about the power of social media, and some people have said that fight got made because of the shit talking on social media. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that that's what's going on. With
Eubank, okay.
I believe what you say. Look, let him run his mouth. You know, a loudmouth celebrity over there. Not certainly not here.
Right.
Let him talk. What he fight a 42-year-old Golovkin? Maybe, you know what I mean. He certainly didn't want it with a 35-year-old Golovkin. Who else is there really? If you're talking about this guy who just stunk the joint out, you know, then you got to start chipping away. What about a guy like Munguia? What about, you know, look, man, we got to put his feet to the fire.
Munguia is the fight. That's the fight they should make.
I'm kind of going on record on some, like, I don't care shit moving forward until he starts getting in there with real guys.
I love that. Let's stop talking about him until.
So
guys out there, our fans, our fans or our listeners who are fans of Chris Eubank, we like the Eubanks. They make us laugh. But this is a boxing show, and Vinny and I don't cover a lot of fighters who we feel aren't fighting the best fights that are presented to them. I think the Eubanks are disingenuous about who they want.
Agreed.
If this Felix Cash fight gets made, I didn't know who the fuck Felix Cash was before the other day, by the way.
I didn't either. He's
got a great name.
I didn't either.
Got a great name, though.
Yeah,
indeed. He sounds like somebody would sell you a fucking used car that breaks down.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Felix Cash is like a New York or Philly guy who does local commercials for used car vehicles.
He points to you at the end of the commercial.
Cash is a dollar sign.
Is a dollar sign.
Yeah.
I'm not going to report, and I'm not going to put Chris Eubank Jr. On this show anymore if it's not a top 10 guy.
Yeah, and if they make a fight with this guy, we're going to say that fight stinks, and that's all we're going to give it.
That's it.
Moving on to the, speaking of the UK, Danny Jacobs, Brooklyn's own, Brownsville, never ran, never will, goes over there to fight John Ryder. You and I said, this John Ryder stinks. You hit me. Let me let you say it because I don't want to give anything away.
Yeah, I'm not going to, again.
You heard you from and, somebody.
You and I don't name names.
You heard from a birdie that what? What did you tell me? Because you didn't tell our listeners yet.
No, and I didn't. There are certain things that you and I share. That we
yes. And I want you to be as broad as you can be. So it's
okay.
Not.
I heard, actually from a few people, that.
You want me to do it?
Listen, I heard.
You told me Danny's going to lose this fight. And
that's what I said.
It is.
That's what I said.
And I said to you, I think a shop-worn, bad Danny beats up
John Ryder.
And we can talk about the decision, but let's talk a little bit about it. I think Danny looked like shit against Gabriel Rosado. The last time I said this guy can fight might have been Golovkin.
Here's what I heard. He doesn't want to be there. That's what I heard.
Hey, look, that's what I see. And
that's
I
what
don't
I
know
heard.
The people you know. I'm talking right. about Rosado. I'm watching that fight and go, this isn't a guy with a killer instinct, man. This isn't a from the long line of Brownsville. I mean, you're talking about a borough and then a neighborhood within the borough. Killers come out of there.
Zab.
You start with Mike Zab, Riddick Bowe.
Right.
Mike,
Shannon
Michael,
Briggs.
Michael Jordan.
Right.
Shannon Briggs. Look, right. man, you're talking about guys who came out there that win, lose, or draw. You're talking about guys who did not go in there. I'm not going to say right. he goes in there to lay down, but look, how about this? He looks disinterested. To me,
so those
athletic kid can do everything right. You know, a good movement, speed, solid power.
I was watching that fight. I wasn't only texting you. I was texting with who I speak to on the inside of things as well. And they said to me around the fifth, it's going to change now.
Uh huh.
And it did.
It did. You got to love the story. I mean, the guy beat right. cancer, comes back, a sweeter guy you could not meet. I mean, a gentleman. I love talking right. to that kid when I would see him.
Right.
My mom loves him. Just a good guy. Great. Right. Seems like a great father. Close with his son.
Right.
I always rooted for Danny. I rooted him in like basically every fight except Golovkin because
he was
my guy.
He doesn't want to be there.
Hey, look, if you don't want to be there, look, I know this is, an old trope, man. Yeah, this is a bad sport to not want to be there, man.
Right.
This is not a sport where you're Derek Coleman with all the fucking talent in the world, but you come to camp.
DC 30, reference.
Yes. D-Rock. One of my, he came out of Syracuse, my favorite yeah. college player. Look, coming in 30 pounds, overweight. Being a mutt, not coming to practice, and what's the worst that happens to you? You do that in boxing, you die.
You die.
So,
right.
hey, man.
Danny comes in shape. If you listen to the commentary, if you listen to the pundits, which I did, not necessarily the commentary, more the pundits leading up to this, mm-hmm. because this has been a long layoff for Jacobs, there was a lot of talk about his bank account. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a lot of guys are saying he's got the money. He's mm-hmm. fought the fights, mm-hmm. a long career. He, as you mentioned, he beat the cancer, mm-hmm. he reinvented himself, mm-hmm. he's changed trainers. And then they kept going back to, he's got the money. He saved his money. He's done well with his money. I don't know
right.
what this guy's finances are. I don't
right,
know this
right.
guy's debit account.
Well,
I don't
hey,
know
dude, look, he hit the Canelo sweepstakes. The Golovkin payday was very good. It was
right.
nothing crazy, not insane, but again,
he's had a string of good paydays.
Yes, guys, you got to understand that what is going on now in the culture of boxing, what you're looking at with Canelo, is what you were looking at of the past two decades with Floyd. Right. Everyone wanted that little $5-6 million I can retire off this payday. And if you kind of have a name, that can get bumped up to 10, sure. You know, or,
right.
or 12, so if you have a name.
And if you get two of those, three of those paydays and you
string them together
and you string them together and you mix them in with the paydays, probably like this one, which yes. aren't huge,
but they're very solid compared to, sure. to the average Joe.
You're going to have a nice little career. So again, Jacobs looked disinterested. Ryder fighting in front of his hometown, even, I believe. They kept saying yes. he grew up miles from the
correct.
Arena.
Correct, correct.
It's a 7,000 seat arena.
Saying London is like saying New York, B, because it's massive. So you have like, you're right. from New York, but I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from New right. York, but I'm from Queens. It's right. London is the same way.
Right.
So it's yes, he's from London, but he's from like where he was fighting. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
That neighborhood. They said he could walk there.
Yes.
Big Ryder contingent. Down to the fight.
Let's talk about this.
My analysis is I don't really need to say much about John Ryder. He is a tough guy, ham and egger type, lunch pail guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had Jacobs winning 7-5. I believe he banked enough rounds at the beginning of the fight. He did some stuff that I didn't understand.
I want to talk about that.
There were things he did that come with someone who is ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
The jab was lazy. There was no snap on it.
No.
He was
pawing with it and he wasn't pawing with it as a method. Because right. some people paw because it's just a range fire.
He was trying to land. Now, I've said in the past, and we've talked about it, sometimes I can kind of cue in on a guy when he's done. If he doesn't pull the trigger anymore, the as I like to say, the hole is there, but he can't close it, right? Yep. So the hole is there, and he can't close it.
Yep.
This wasn't that. This was a guy that looked too inactive to me, and it was showing in that. He was trying to land his little cute shit he used to land, like when he was in the gym all the time.
Yeah,
sparring,
yeah.
And he couldn't, and he was whiffing on it. Then
no,
he was,
there was
doing the shit
in his career where he was a cutie.
Right. Then there was shit he was doing, like he was trying to land these little short hooks inside where he's stepping around bah, bah, and rattle them off, and he was whiffing on him, and he looked silly. Then what I was calling a lazy jab, there was some openings with the right hand, and he was missing, shooting the right hand, he was missing.
Yes.
And then he switched to southpaw, which he was just getting fucking tagged,
mm-hmm.
which I've said this on this show, and I've compared it to like switch stance skateboarding. Most professionals, if they're fighting a guy, a chump like me, will beat the shit out of me in their opposite stance, right? But if you're fighting another professional fighter, your offense may look fantastic in that opposite stance, but it's your defense. When the punches are coming back at you backwards, it's very difficult to slip, move, and counter when you're in that opposite stance. And it showed here with Jacobs. He was blocking punches in an orthodox stance, switching to southpaw, and getting hit with those same punches. So I couldn't understand why he was doing that. And he wasn't fooling Ryder switching to southpaw. In fact, he was meat. Ryder was scoring at will whenever Jacob switched to southpaw. And one of the things that sometimes you got to mute the commentary was championing him switching to southpaw like this was 2015. And,
you know, like he was switching like he's Hagler.
Right. And I was like, well, no, he's fucking losing rounds every time he does that. And the audio, I don't know if you paid attention to any of the audio that was on, you could hear Andre Rozier in the corner screaming out commands.
Yes.
And Jacobs trying to execute those commands, but not really succeeding. So Ryder, to his credit, had a good night. Jacobs had a bad night, looked rusty, lots of ring rust in Ryder's hometown. I say all this, and I had Jacobs winning 7-5. So I don't want to call it a robbery, but it didn't. I don't see how you found seven rounds for John Ryder, because I think that was how they scored it, right? They scored it 7-5 for Ryder.
All three cards. I don't remember the scorecards.
Right. Did you score it?
No, but I thought Danny won clean.
Okay.
Robbery is a tricky word when you're talking about, I thought his performance was subpar. I just think so little of Ryder's ability in the ring, not of his toughness, not of his stick-to-itiveness, not of his grittiness, not as a person, tough kid, nice kid, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not upset for, you know what I mean? He's going to get hurt bad if he gets a shot at a real guy.
Talking about John Ryder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say, did you score it? That's when you ask me that on the show, it's, did I write it down on my notepad? I score everything in my head.
Right. But sometimes, we're kind of like, you know, we're washing dishes or we're having, you know.
Correct. 8-4, 8-4, 7-5 to me. But okay. It wasn't tough to score. I want to talk about something that happened over and over and over. And I'm really just reiterating what some of your people told you before this fight. Stylistically speaking, when you have a guy that lumbers in and they don't know how to close the distance properly. So what they do is they lumber in awkwardly and basically clinch. Mm-hmm. Danny just let it happen all night, not for pieces of the fight. All night, he let this guy just walk in head first, either to clinch, to try to get in on a clinch to stop Danny's activity, which wasn't high anyway. His work rate wasn't high anyway.
No.
Anytime Danny.
Which it never is.
So now you're allowing this guy to smother shots. That to me, you said repeatedly about this show, Vin, I can tell when a guy is done, when he can see shit in front of him, but he can't pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. For me, I know a guy is done when someone comes in that way, not behind a jab, not behind anything, just leaps in for the clinch.
Right.
And you're not firing anything. First off, I don't care if he's shot on a bad day, and old Danny Jacobs is 3 times faster than a John Ryder.
Right.
The fact that this guy is coming in and you don't fire something off quick and blast him out of there, or you don't take a step back, a half a step back and rip an uppercut as this dude is falling into you. This wasn't tactically sound what John Ryder was doing. He was falling in all night and then clinching.
Well, it's like John Ryder is like a Sean Porter-esque in that.
Bootleg Sean Porter, John Ruiz-esque.
He just bull rushes in, and he gave Callum Smith tons of problems with that same shit, you know?
And what I'm saying is that if you allow that to happen, it says a lot about where you're at and your career, that's twitchy stuff that we talk about. Mm-hmm. As soon as I see that coming, if I have the fast twitchies, if I have the vision, the ring vision to see that coming, you're getting sparked clean out. Mm-hmm. And I saw that all night long. Mm-hmm. All night long. Yo, a pre-Golovkin, post-Pirog Danny Jacobs is catching this dude with a 1-2 all night with this. Maybe a 1-2-3 and ending it with the 3. Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 bop.
Yeah.
It's over. All of this said, I think it was a pretty crappy decision. Me and you talk about the words robbery. Danny didn't look good. John Ryder didn't look good.
No.
Rough, tough kid. Stayed in there. He certainly wasn't thoroughly dominated from Pillar to Post. So he did enough to have those judges think, we're going to give it to this kid. This is an ex-champion.
And it was, I believe it was 2 American judges and a Mexican judge. And then someone else chimed in and they said that American judges tend to favor the hometown fighter if they're in England.
Right.
And again, boxing politics shit, so that they'll be like invited back by the promoter, you know, and again, British promoter, Eddie Hearn. I don't know.
Now that fight was to be a mandatory for one of Canelo's belts. I mean, neither one of those guys even when you talk about mandatories, is I can't see Canelo getting in with whoever won.
Buddy, is that just like I won the step aside awards? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm
I think it is.
Yeah,
I think it is.
Right.
I think he either vacates, you know, Canelo vacates that belt.
Yeah.
And then it's a fight for a vacant belt because you know how you and I feel about belts and mandatories and defenses. We want to see guys fight the best. So if your mandatory is a subpar guy, Canelo is still the Don at that division.
Well, again, then Canelo did that with Ilderim last year. You know, he fought the mandatory and everybody killed him for it.
Everybody killed him for it. Imagine Canelo fighting John Ryder, bro. When you have a fight like
see, part of me, and that, it's not necessarily for bloodlust. Part of me is just to show the levels of it. If Canelo ever goes on a 4 or 5 fight a year.
Okay, how about that? I was just going to say to you, if he fights 4 times and fights John Ryder, no problem.
Of course.
If he fights twice in 18 months, then
If he does the May-September thing that
Floyd... The year that he's just coming off of where he unified the 168, if he goes on a run like that and 3 of them are beasts and 1 of them is John Ryder, no problem.
No, of course not.
No problem. You deserve that. Fighters are allowed to do that when you rip off these runs of 4 fights.
And especially if you want to preserve the I'm keeping all the belts.
Yeah, sure. You know. But there's arguments to be made on both sides, B. When you go back to Marco Antonio Barrera, right? Like at one point the guy was the Don at the weight class and had none of the belts because he was like, fuck these sanctioned bodies. Yeah. I'm fighting these guys. Because I want the best fights. I want the biggest paydays. I want Pacquiao. I want Morales 3 times. Right. I want all of this. And at one point, he's a Ring Magazine champ. I don't think he had any of the sanctioning bodies belts. Maybe he had 1 or something. You know what I mean? But he was the guy. He was the real guy. The lineal guy at that it's tricky because of the politics. And we talk about the mad nauseam on the show, you know?
Right. So let's... I don't think we should see Danny. Maybe Danny takes a retirement. I'd like to see that. John Ryder seems like a local guy. I wish him well. Moving on, we got some fights on the horizon.
We do. This weekend, a fight that you think stinks, and I think there might be something there. Let's talk about it. You back to the UK again. Huge over there. It's already sold out. When I brought that up to you, you still rolled your eyes at me like a jerk.
It's fucking late. It's Cal Brook and Amir Khan. That'll be on Sky Sports for you people out there that buy the old Sky. I don't know, man. How are you going to pick this? Who are you picking?
Where is it here? Is it on ESPN Plus?
No. I don't know, man. I think you can get a Sky option here now. I saw Sky / Sky. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know how I'm going to be able to watch it then.
Steal it.
Amir Khan, Kel Brook, fight should have happened 10 years ago. They don't like each other.
Yeah.
Both guys in their prime, supremely skilled.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you give the nod to in their prime as the best?
Kel Brook. Kel Brook is a much more... a rugged guy. That was always Amir Khan's kryptonite.
Yeah, his chin is his kryptonite, but
we're tough, rugged guys.
Who could take a shot.
Right. And Kel Brook could take a shot. Kel Brook also had, you talked before about some fast twitch stuff. He's got, problem with Kel Brook is he's got short arms. So he doesn't have a big reach. And Amir Khan, a lot of his opponents have stated he is the fastest hands that they've ever seen. Fastest opponent that they were ever in there with.
He's his hands are pretty next level.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Agreed. Look, hey, Kel Brook, a lot of people, including some of our listeners, highly regard Sean Porter. He beat a prime Sean Porter, in my opinion, easily. It wasn't a tough fight.
Vin, you're right. It's on ESPN Plus.
Okay. That's good. Sorry. Look, I thought Kel Brook I think he's a maniac for going up in weight to fight Golovkin, who at the time was the boogeyman. But hey, listen, I think he had some success. he was landing some shit.
Yeah.
He was landing some clean shit. Just mm-hmm. too much in Golovkin. Just too much, too strong. At that time, again, the boogeyman and the Michael Myers of boxing. Not right. just the middleweight division. The most feared guy, most destructive guy. In his prime or the tail end of his prime. Hey, it's really hard to ever pick a guy with such a glass jaw. I mean, this is an all-time glass jaw.
Yeah, he's got a really bad chin.
I'm going, he's definitely top 10. He might be top 5 for me.
It's certainly of like really popular world-class fighters. I don't know what it is. I mean,
from Brady's Prescott.
But even before Brady's before the Brady's Prescott fight, he got floored on his come up. You know, Prescott yeah. was like his first big step.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got annihilated. Like,
but to me, a huge Canelo sparking him out. Khan's a goon for taking that fight, you know, respect. Sure. But I mean, you know, they painted Danny as a puncher, and like Thurman, time proved he wasn't, and right. he got sparked by him. You know, the Bud fight was just mad weird.
He quit.
Like, just okay,
so that's what I'm gonna point to. This is why it's hard to pick for me, because Kell Brook got his face damaged twice.
Orbital bones broken.
Each side. Okay. Most guys don't come back from that when it's
Golovkin,
both sides.
Then Spence.
Then Spence. And he hung tough with Spence and gave Spence problems as well.
Yes, he did.
But he seems just not all there. And then Bud sparked him out in 3 rounds, and he looked
all right.
Awful.
Who is more shot in 2022?
Right. So do you see why I kind of rolled my eyes at this, Vinny? Like, who's more shot? Yeah.
Yes. I just sometimes these fights end up as old school in an armory barn burners. And I think there's the potential for that to happen.
Right, so
I think Khan gets stopped.
You think Khan gets stopped?
Yeah.
Okay. Now
I'd love to see the line, but I don't know what it is.
But again, I don't, to your point or to our point or to the point of the Crawford fight, see that what that told me, and that's the other thing that I know a guy doesn't want this anymore. There is the subtle thing that I can pick up on where, you know, he sees an opening and can't close it. The other thing is when it's an obvious fucking quit job, yeah. and you got punched in the fucking leg.
Yeah.
And you're looking at the ref and you're screaming and yelling that you got hit low and you quit. You quit on a big stage. You gotta know in your head that you're gonna get killed for that. You know what I mean? So it tells me you just don't want to be in there anymore.
They don't like each other.
They don't like each other. God, this is a tough. Are you? You're picking Brooke.
I'm picking Kell Brook by stoppage.
Stoppage. I'm gonna
in the eighth or ninth.
See, that's the other thing too. Like, if someone was to pick Khan, or you were to try to put this on paper, does Khan have enough anymore? Like in his gas tank to like. It's such a weird fight to pick this, like two guys that are totally weird. Fucking shot. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to pick Khan by decision. That's what I'm going to do.
What do they call that? Be bragging rights. I think they, right. I'm not talking about the sport. I think they see right. it.
I'm going to pick, my head says Khan by decision. My heart says Brooke by stoppage. But I'm going to pick Khan. I'm going to go with my head.
I think Kell Brook stops him late.
I'm
going to
say Khan decision.
Okay.
UD.
Let's move on. Jaime Munguia versus Demetrius Ballard. I hate this opponent.
I hate it. Jaime Munguia by stoppage.
I don't get it.
I don't
you
either.
You and I are done with these guys who are battering people and then coming in against subpar
this fight's fucking stupid. I'm getting annoyed with DAZN. DAZN has also turned their back on us day one.
They have.
Me and you.
Yes.
They are the next Canelo fight will be a
pay-per-view.
Massive pay-per-view.
Both of them will be.
Right.
The next two.
For a shitload of money.
Which so we pay, B and I pay yearly, monthly.
Right.
For fights to be quote unquote free to us for paying the monthly fee.
Right.
And we will have to pay above and beyond that.
Right. And that was these next two Canelo fights. That was what they told us they were not going to do.
Correct.
So Vinny and I talked privately about this. If you're going to bang me in the head, why are you saying you can't make money when you're giving me this horse shit, Jaime Munguia, Demetrius Ballard shit? You're charging me for that shit. You're giving, you know, fuck you, motherfucker. You gave me Danny Jacobs and John Ryder last week.
Yeah.
With Felix Cash as the co-feature. With a used car salesman from fucking Parsippany, New Jersey as the fucking...
Yeah,
the co-feature.
Parsippany. Wow, it's very dark.
Get the fuck out of here with this bullshit. So fuck you, DAZN. I sent a tweet which became a thread.
Mm-hmm.
You were a part of.
It was.
Where I said, "Hey, DAZN, eat shit."
Yes.
You and my friends decided to use that as a pylon.
We did,
and it was. I'm glad you all got entertained. I'm picking Jaime Munguia by battering.
As am I.
And
five
then
or six.
A fight that surprised me. Because I'm just going to move on because I don't think there's much to talk about the Munguia fight.
Yeah.
Zarua Abdulayev versus...
Abdulayev.
Abdulayev, thank you. Mm-hmm. Against Jorge Linares. No one's talking about it.
It's in fucking
Russia. Linares is fine. He'll go anywhere.
How much can he
possibly be getting fucking paid for that fight?
$150,000.
Right. That's why I put that on there. Grand. Like, this guy's had a career. We've literally been hearing about him. He's been on my radar, Linares, since he beat Oscar Larios. And that was like in 2006. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
goes everywhere. We in Korea can make a movie, trained out of Japan, but he's Venezuelan.
Right. So my question is, this guy must love to fight.
He does. I don't know what we think about Abdulayev. He has one loss to Devin Haney.
Right.
Those guys from that part of the world are usually tough as nails.
I'm curious if Linares thinks he can take this and then, you know, roll that into maybe another title shot one last
another week. Title shot. Well, that's what he's going for, absolutely.
Right.
Thing with Leonardo is, I think we both agree, it's not an issue of skills in there. It's how much does he have left in the tank.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's at his best, he was sublime.
Yeah.
Beautiful boxer.
Unbelievable offensive dynamo. Yeah. Lacked a little defense.
Mm-hmm. Which for guys like us is good. Not for him.
Not for him.
But for fans,
yeah.
You know, the guy who throws tons of punches.
A guy who I never thought would come back after getting like early.
No.
Getting starched early twice.
Yep.
But anyway, so with that said.
But unlike some of the people we discussed tonight, when you love it, you get up for fights.
Right. And he's challenged himself. He's a great warrior, great champion.
Always in shape.
I hope this guy, I don't see how it's possible at this point. And that he retires and is healthy.
Yeah, me too.
Mentally. He's taken some really, really fucking tough fights, really bad beatings. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't even know who to pick in that one. I guess Abdulayev. I'm going to go with that just because I think Linares is completely shot.
I'm going to go Abdulayev by decision only because he's not a really destructive puncher.
No, he's not.
And, you know, Linares is sturdy. So, and he's slippery enough and smart enough in there that even if he's losing, he'll hang around on you mm-hmm. if you let him, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pick Abdullayev by decision. And if it's bad, I hope Leonardis retires. You know what I mean?
Me too. So with moving on to the following week, because I don't think we're going to, you know, we always do the 2 weeks.
Yeah. So
Next, not this Saturday, the 19th, the 26th, ESPN seems to be giving us a showcase for their big, one of their big guns, which is Josh Taylor. He's fighting. Do you know how to say this last name?
Jack Catterall.
Jack Catterall.
I don't like this fight at all.
I think it's just a showcase fight.
I understand that. Yeah. And if you want to say the kid unified the divisions, he deserves a gimme. That's a philosophy that exists in the sport. It doesn't to me, only because I don't believe that Josh Taylor has achieved that stature. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Where you can take that. I mean, that's just my opinion. He's going to blow him out.
It's not even going to be close. I think this might be Taylor's last fight at 40. They've been talking about him moving up to 47 for a while. He's a big 140 pounder.
He said if anybody at 135 that's being touted like a tank, any of those guys at 35 that plan on moving up, he says he'll fight any of them.
He'll fight all of them, right.
Yeah. Honestly, Josh Taylor will fight anybody.
Yeah.
So he'll fight anybody at 47.
Sure. Right.
Too. So if that's what he chooses to do, if he feels like, I think if there's a monster fight at 40, he'll stay there. Like if a guy like Tank wanted to come up, you know, get that money. If not, you got to go to 47 to chase the big fights. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the guys are.
Of course, stupid boxing, competing cards. So we have that Josh Taylor fight on ESPN.
Yeah, Chris Colbert.
And then we got on Showtime, which will I will watch live and probably record the Josh Taylor fight. Chris Colbert fighting another replacement in Hector Luis Garcia.
B and I are Chris Colbert fans out there.
Yep.
If you haven't seen him, watch him. And Gary Russell's little brother's on that card, right?
Gary,
Victor Postol.
Yeah. Against another guy who haven't heard about him in a while and out of the blue gets a TV shot.
Yep. As
now a trial horse. Former champion, and this is how boxing goes. You are a former champion, and now you become a trial horse on an undercard of a Chris Colbert fight. Wow. And then Sunday, we get a little boxing. Next Sunday on February 27th, Lawrence Okoli versus, you got to help me with this one, bud, Mikal Chizliak. How do you say that?
I do not know. I'm not hit for him.
Come on.
I know. Nah, I can't do it, bro.
You know what that is, Ben? He's a cruiserweight. That's why. Nobody knows the cruiserweights. Okoli is, he's got a buzz, Lawrence Okoli. He's a big cruiserweight, big, long cruiserweight. He's got the WBO title. And we get a little Sunday, but I call that bonus boxing. So it'll be a Sunday mm-hmm. during the day. Mm-hmm. Guys, check out Okoli. I'd love to know what everyone thinks about him, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he can fight.
I like him. Here's my issue with him. I think he lacks a little athleticism. He throws some looping punches. I'd like to see him throw some more straight shots.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a big, long guy. Rumor is he'll be growing into heavyweight. That's the rumor. O-U-R. Okay, proper English. R-U-M-O-U-R. That's the rumor. Because he's British, I give him that. That brings us into our favorite segment.
It's my favorite segment.
I know, which is the state of the sport.
The state of the sport. So hot off of the presses is that Mike Coppinger has reported.
Sources.
Vasyl Lomachenko has agreed to his side of the deal for a fight with George Kambosos.
In?
ESPN, June 4th in Australia. Kambosos hasn't agreed as he weighs his options. The deal includes a rematch clause for a second fight in Australia if Loma were to win. I have seen that Loma is applying massive pressure of get me that fight.
If this Kambosos guy, who hasn't shut his fucking mouth,
Mm-hmm.
Since winning.
Who's fucking carrying himself like sugar, like Ray Robinson.
Bro.
Yes.
If he doesn't take this fight,
mm-hmm,
after fucking talking all that shit,
mm-hmm,
since the Teo fight, like, he's making me not like him.
Absolutely.
So, excuse me.
You tapping over there?
I'm dying.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't take this fight, it's in Australia. It's what you wanted. There's a rematch clause.
It'll be in a massive stadium.
Correct.
60,000 people.
Lou DiBella.
Monster payday.
Tell his fighter to take this fucking fight.
Agreed. But hey, listen. What I've heard is that Lomachenko was applying massive amount of pressure and saying, yo, I don't care what kind of pay cut I have to take.
Really?
So, yes, I'm hearing that. And I'm hearing that Haney and his father are going out of their fucking way to price themselves out of the fight.
I heard just the same thing.
Utterly complete delusion of his worth, of everything.
Right.
In regards to his payday, the exact opposite is what Lomachenko is saying. I will take this much of a cut. Get me this fight. I want those four belts. So,
Loma gets those belts. Loma's playing the long game here. Look, I get those belts. Now I command massive paydays because I can beat this guy.
Yes.
And if I beat him twice, you know, Loma's the second fight with Kambosos, if Kambosos exercises a rematch clause, Loma will get the lion's share.
Yes.
And it'll be one smaller fight, one big fight. And then the world is Loma's oyster as far as 135 pounds.
Yeah.
So, and then probably retirement, I would say.
I want to go back real quick. I don't want to dwell, but I want to go back real quick before what we were speaking about before State of the Sport was the Showtime card. I think Victor Postol beats Gary Antoine Russell.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it. All right. I'm a piggyback on that.
Okay. But let's that's That'd coming up. Yeah. But look, so that's what we've heard about Lomachenko. Hopefully by the next show, we have that deal signed.
That'd be dope.
You know?
Yeah, I'd be very happy with that.
So look, what you've heard is Beterbiev and Joe Smith will be at MSG mm-hmm. in June.
Also in June. Yeah, I heard the end of June at MSG. And it's just a matter of crossing T's and dotting I's. So it looks like the Beterbiev side or whoever, they gave Joe the extra amount of money that he wanted. Mm-hmm. Beterbiev, from what I heard, I have pretty good quote-unquote sources, is excited to fight at Madison Square Garden, as he should be.
I'm sure, yeah.
Joe's happy that it's there due to the proximity of where it's only about MSG's about 90 minutes from where Joe is from, maybe 2 hours, but it's still New York, and that should be fun while it lasts.
Yeah, I think that's any way a fight could be bad. It's Arthur Beterbiev is all wrong with Joe Smith Jr., and it doesn't end well with Joe Smith Jr.
You think so?
Yeah, it's going
to
end bad.
The great Joe Smith Jr. is going to punch Arthur Beterbiev out the front doors.
You're being ridiculous, as usual.
Down the steps onto the platform of the Long Island Railroad.
You're being ridiculous, as usual.
This is what's going to happen. The great Joe Smith Jr. will be champion of the world.
He will get put into retirement. Hey, look,
he's gonna hit him so hard Bernard Hopkins is gonna feel it.
We hope stop the madness. We hope that the Lomachenko Kambosos, we hope that it's made by the time we hear back. Devin Haney is the distant second choice from what I'm hearing.
And I heard there's another second choice that will who's also part of our little State of the Sport. A little 2A. which is, who is Ryan Garcia.
Yes. Look, they're also talking Boots Ennis and Custillo Clayton.
Yeah,
but an IBF welterweight eliminator, which will take place in the spring. PBC on Showtime.
Yeah, elaborate on that, Ben, what that means.
PBC of Showtime avoids the March 1st purse bid. The winner will be the number one contender for the Spence Ugas winner.
That's what
I love. Which right. I love.
I love that too.
I want Boots. You know, the only way he can get fights is by forcing fights. And people know how you and I feel about Boots. So I love that. I love that he'll be forcing that.
Here's what I want from Boots, because Boots is like a free agent.
Yeah.
Who is he with?
Cameron Duncan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Boots put his foot on the gas this year, big time.
Me too.
And take, if there is a title eliminator that they're offered, take every single one and put these guys in a corner and say, look, you was either vacate, you know what I mean? Or if
Agreed. So,
or pay me.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure.
More Ryan Garcia news, if anybody gives a shit. Ryan Garcia now is, and by the way, we didn't predict this, but you and I predicted this. He's leaving Eddie Reynoso, who is Canelo Alvarez's trainer, mm-hmm. Andy Ruiz's trainer, Oscar Valdez's trainer. Eddie Reynoso, and you've pointed to this, is like the trainer du jour right now.
Yes.
Everybody wants to train with him. So yes. Ryan Garcia is leaving Eddie Reynoso for what I guess appears is the greener pastures of Joe Goosen. I hope he doesn't think things are going to be easier on him with Joe Goosen.
No.
Because it's fucking not. Maybe he wants someone to concentrate on him more. Maybe he didn't feel like he was getting enough time with the Reynosos.
It's possible.
Goosen's a great trainer.
Great.
Goosen's a fabulous trainer. He's got a great gym. Tengoose Boxing out there in Cali.
Look, the opponent for the fight, it's like we keep talking about these guys. Why are you fighting these guys? This is not anything to be excited about.
Potential
opponent.
Oh, yeah. But I was just talking more about Ryan Garcia as a name, and he left a famous trainer. Joe maybe Joe can do great things, and Joe is an offensive-minded teacher. Okay?
Absolutely. So,
Ryan's touted as an offensive fighter. Maybe this meshes well. It blends well, and we get to see a better Ryan Garcia. Worst case scenario, they don't work enough on defense. You and I pointed out defensive flaws. Ryan Garcia gets his fucking head flown, and we never hear from him again. Yeah. So it's win-win. It's win-freaking-win. That's about it.
I mean, this. Emmanuel Tago is that's just why that's who he's supposed to be fighting.
Ryan Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy, you know, 33 years old from Accra, Ghana.
Yeah. I mean,
why this kid for argument's sake, you know, in this world of TikTok and social media is like apparently a star and like a heartthrob to young, you know, right. I don't understand the fight.
No, all. I don't either. Is it because he's been out of the ring now for a year again?
I guess that's the logic. I'm sort of tired of that.
Me too.
You know,
at this age, you should be in there every couple months.
Yeah.
You know, let's go.
Yeah.
King, he calls himself King Rai.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Tago. I'm looking him up now.
Yeah.
I'm not thrilled.
No.
Yeah, so that's in April.
I mean, I don't know that
I like his alias, it's the Game Boy.
Yeah, it's in April. Yeah.
Go ahead.
April 9th.
All right.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, we get to see Ryan Garcia with Joe Goosen. I'm just interested. I'm more interested for the Silk and Rayon of Joe Goosen in the corner. If you guys follow boxing or follow Joe Goosen, a lot of trainers will wear like a...
I love Joe.
Me too. They'll wear like a trainer's, you know, robe. You know,
yeah, I mean, this guy's dressed like he's going...
This guy is going to...
He's dressed like he's going to, what's it called, in the 90s, the limelight.
Right. I mean, he looks like the... Like when you go to like Miami and like the older middle-aged people are there, they're either divorced or their kids are now like out of the house. Uh-huh. And it's just like a, you know, they're waiting for their table. You know, when they put you in that area where you have drinks,
mm-hmm.
His shirt's always unbuttoned like halfway down.
I said the limelight. What's the New York club I'm thinking of from the 90s?
Well, the limelight would, yes, that's it. But that's a rave club. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one I'm thinking of, but I can't think of what it is. He wears like silk shirts and he's got a bouffant.
That's what I'm saying. Or he wears like the full denim joint.
Yeah.
You ever seen like when he rocks the
of course.
The full denim, like with it's got like the pattern on the pockets and shit like
that.
Yeah,
he's a maniac.
He is a fucking maniac. So I'm excited. I am excited just to see him on
I want to see what training. He can do with him. Yeah. Agreed.
So I just love him as a boxing personality, the pageantry. Yeah. And he is no fucking bullshit, that guy.
No.
That guy is, there is no bullshit with that dude at all. And he's just so matter of fact. I love the sound bites from the corner.
Yeah.
He'll tell a fighter, well, you're fucking losing. Better knock him out.
The you know, sound bites with Chico Corrales.
Chico Corrales. Some of the greatest. Yeah. Stop getting hit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's just fucking. He's so angry at the fight.
He is
not listening. I love it.
Uh huh.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's about it.
That's you know, that's state of the sport. That's what's going on now. You know, we hope that Lomachenko Kambosos gets made. Look, it's a monster fight over there. Like I said, it'd probably be like 60,000 people. You know, like.
That'd be great.
Yeah, for everyone.
And they deserve to get a big fight over there. So
yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to see that. So
yeah,
and
there's
then
nothing.
This guy Kambosos, shut the fuck up.
Yes. So I guess that's it.
That's it
for state of the sport. How do you want to end this, B?
Well, I always do a recommendation.
Yeah, you do.
And this week, it's an old movie I used to watch with my dad. And it's just a great one of the, see, for me, the 1970s, late 60s, 70s. And then again, there was a resurgence in the 90s, the two best eras of filmmaking. This movie is with Stacy Keach. It's about boxing. It's called Fat City and, takes place in Stockton, California. And it's an incredibly melancholy film about a guy on his way up in boxing and a guy on his way out in boxing, and highly recommended. If you guys have time, sit down and watch Fat City. John Huston directed it. This was like his comeback film. So it's just it's beautiful, brilliant filmmaking, acting, perfectly written. And that 70s grit. So I think everybody out there, and of course it's about boxing. So I got on this topic because some of my friends and I were saying, what are the best boxing movies outside of Rocky, right? Mm-hmm. Or where boxing isn't like a proxy for a different story. You know, like On the Waterfront is there's a boxing subplot, you know what I mean? But it's more than that.
Yeah, I think Raging Bull is the best ever to me.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw an interview with De Niro about that where just as an aside, you and I love talking movies too, as well as music and everything else.
Yeah.
Where De Niro pushed the start of that movie back 3 or 4 different times so he could get in shape.
Yeah.
And he was in the gym every day. Every day.
Yeah, and maniac.
I think Jake LaMotta famously said about Robert De Niro that at the time when they shot it, he was a top 10 middleweight.
Yeah,
that's how good he got. But anyway, so that's it. That's the show.
All right. Well, as we normally do, we let everyone know where they could reach us. You want to give, you know how much I hate your.
You know, it's funny. You hate the name, but people seem to love it.
No, they don't.
They seem to love it.
That's fake news. So why don't you give it?
All right. Well, my Instagram, since you're getting all upset and being out of shape.
I am.
Look at how somber you get.
I am.
Talk about my name. At @I_no_that_kid on IG and at @thekillerb24 on Twitter, where you can see Vinny and my friends bully me repeatedly for the last week or so. They're saying all kinds of foul shit. So if you guys want to pile on that thread, have at it.
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. You can reach me on Instagram at @BoxCutterPazzy.
Violent. I'm so violent.
That's
Pazzy.
Just fake news. You can reach me on Twitter at @Vinny_Paz. And you could send us questions and comments at what, B?
KEOTBBoxing@gmail.com. KEOTBBoxing@gmail.com. I love doing the show, bro.
Yeah, me too.
It's great. And thank you all for listening and thanks for writing in. And, to those that aren't with us anymore, rest in peace.
All right. We'll talk to you guys soon. We'll be back. Peace.
Peace, peace. Knock them out the box, pass. Knock them out. Knock them out the box, B.